What's up, everybody, and welcome to Worship Fuel. My name is Matt McCoy. I'm the founder of loopcommunity.com and the host of the Worship Fuel Show. And today, for today's episode, I've got a very special guest. I've got Brett Yonker from Passion, worship leader, gifted songwriter. If you're a worship leader, I'm sure that you have played one of his songs at your church. And I'm really looking forward just to having a conversation with him. We're going to talk a little bit about what worship leading was like back in the day before Tracks. We're going to talk about his journey at Passion, their last album, and also just talk a little bit about songwriting. And so we're going to just dive in. If you have any questions at all, type them into the chats wherever you're watching. And really looking forward to this conversation with Brett Yonker. So let's bring him in now.
Looking for affordable, high-quality resources for your church? Check out the app lineup from Worship Tools. You can build sleek service presentations in Presenter, schedule volunteers to those services in Planning, access chord charts and other worship materials in Music Stand, and manage church attendee information with Community.
What's up, Brett?
Hey, Matt. How's it going?
So, really good. Great to see you. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Are you in Atlanta today, or where are you at?
I am. I'm at my house. I've got a little writing room here, and coming awesome. To you live from Georgia. Yeah.
That's awesome. So give us all, so people who know you just as like worship leader, songwriter, give us a little sneak peek behind the curtain, because you say you're there at your house. Like, what does a normal, typical day look like for Brett Yonker? Like, are you doing like school drop-off line, or are you like the breakfast guy at home? Are you making the pancakes? Or like, tell us, what does a day look like for you?
Well, my cooking skills aren't that extensive, but I can make eggs with the best of them. But no, I do. I don't have a typical week. You know, this week I was in California doing some songwriting with some friends earlier, and now I'm kind of working on just kind of catching up, making a few little demos and some songs. But I'm on staff at our church. I'm a pastor at our church. I've helped do many roles over the years. I've kind of helped start our worship ministry, add people to our team, grow the culture of our worship ministry. That was a big piece of what I did for many years. Was part of the team that started our student ministry. I just actually went last night. We did an all citywide gathering, and I took my daughter, my oldest daughter, and a group of her friends. And it was kind of weird, awesome, but weird, because I helped start this citywide gathering like 10 years ago. So it was wild to bring my daughter to it. So that was really cool. And, and then I've helped lead young adults over the years. But my primary role now is we do a 5 o'clock gathering that meets on a Sunday night, probably about 8 or 9 times a year. And we have 3 locations in Atlanta. And at that gathering, we use it for like house-wide moments. So whether we're praying as a church for the conference that, you know, Passion, the conference, or maybe we'll do an album release, or in the summer, we invite guests to come in, guest speakers, like we had Sadie, Robertson Huff this last August, Jackie Hill Perry in July, Matt Chandler was there in June, and so, or Josh Baldwin, you guys I'm sure have interacted with Josh over the years. So that's a great opportunity to just reach out to the whole city. So I give leadership to that gathering at our church, as well as I lead worship pretty regularly on Sundays, not every week. We have a large team of people who are doing that. And I'll preach and teach a little bit as well. And then I also have a podcast called Jesus Songs, where we explore different songs that the church is singing, and either the writer or maybe the worship leader who's helped carry them. And it's really cool. We get to really get down underneath the song, maybe how it was written, but even also why did that song become so meaningful to the church? And so great conversations. Yeah. So love moments like this where we get to chat and talk about all things. I love worship, love leading worship. So I love this community so much.
That's awesome. I did not know you had a podcast called that. That's really great. I'm going to look that up. Jesus Songs.
Check it out. Jesus Songs. Yes. Very, very new, only been out about a year. And, but it's been a fun project to work on with our team. Yeah.
What a great idea. So how did you get started leading worship, and kind of tell us about your journey, like how you even got connected with Passion?
Yeah. Well, I grew up here in Marietta, Georgia, and it's where I live now, and which is just a suburb of Atlanta, and grew up, one amazing youth group, gave my life to Jesus early on. My parents were believers. They kind of became to know Jesus in the 70s and kind of the Atlanta version of the Jesus People movement. You know, we've seen that movie over the last little bit. But my parents, that's kind of how they met the Lord, but just the Southern fried version of all of that. And so, met Jesus at a young age. I was part of an amazing youth group who had a youth pastor who had a vision for students leading other students. And so me and my good buddy, Christian Stanfill, we were in that youth group together. And so he saw that we had music, was a part of our lives. We were very interested in it. I loved bands, loved how music just seemed to touch the world. And also my basketball career was tanking at high school. So he was like, hey, you should think more about music than basketball. Yeah. So just got real plugged in, but saw God do a lot in high school with just kids coming to know Jesus. Went to college, University of South Carolina, was a business major, music minor. But there started going to things like the Passion Conference. And, you know, I've been touched by the music, but really got down underneath what the movement was all about, which is that life is meant to be centered around Jesus, that living for the glory of God is the thing that you, if you give your life to that, you will give your life to something that lasts forever. And I was like, I'm in. Whatever that means for me, that's what I want to spend my life doing, is helping people see and know Jesus. And so moved to New York City, helped plant a church up there called the Gallery Church. And I got a buddy who's still up there helping and leading and serving in that city. And so it's really great. But moved back to Atlanta, traveled around, led worship at a lot of student events. And a lot of those guys that traveled with me, we were 20 somethings, and they were basically had just been teenagers at the time. I was like their big brother. Anyone that called up and said, we've got students and we'd love for you to lead worship, we said, great, we'll be there. That's where we started writing songs. And in that same time window, I was getting married to my wife and Passion City Church was starting. And so that's where me and Ansley kind of planted our lives. She was doing student ministry in another part of town. And so we kind of really planted our roots in Passion City. And at the time, my heroes had moved to town, people like Chris Tomlin and Matt Redman. And learning from people like that and Louie and Shelley Giglio, I've just learned so much about gathering people, about being really consistent, about leading people to Jesus. And and just over the years, I always loved the songwriting process. And so kind of in that 2010, 2011, got invited into that space. And then 2013 is when I led my first song at a Passion Conference, which again, growing up, having been so touched by that, that was really meaningful to me. And came on staff in 2015, and Passion Music, that was kind of the window where kind of a collective band that came from people from our church was kind of this next wave of Passion. And so it's been really fun to see God use it and to see it grow. And now even new voices, obviously Christian and Melody have been a part of that, but you've got people like Chittima and Landon, and really grateful to be a part. We've got three kids and a dog, and just out here, just trying to live our life, just trying to give it all we got. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What was the song you sang at Passion, the first song?
Oh, that first one, it was called Burning in My Soul. So it was a song on the Let the Future Begin album. Wrote that with Matt Maher and Jesse Reeves, Daniel Carson. And yeah, so loved it. That's it was awesome. A fun song, fun song for the moment. Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, thanks for sharing your journey there. So you've been a worship leader for a long time.
I have.
And I'm thinking about like when you were, you know, touring around and playing at all the youth camps and
youth
stuff.
Youth camps. Yeah.
You know, I've been using tracks in worship since I think 2004.
Wow, you're early.
Yeah, we were very early. But I remember leading worship before tracks.
Okay.
And there's so many like pros and I think a few cons, I think, two tracks, like the differences between like when you think back to like what was worship leading like before tracks versus leading after. And you can definitely see the benefits. Like there's benefits, but I was just thinking about like, I wonder how it's changed worship leading. And I'd be curious to hear from your perspective, if you remember, what was it like leading before tracks?
Yeah. Well, I always wanted them. And, you know, it's funny too, because being a college student in the early mid 2000s, we didn't have access to like how to do, there's so much great resourcing now about how to do stuff, which is amazing. But at that time, if you were a musician, you were also kind of like a wizard, and you're like, how does the David Crowder band make those sound? Like, how do they do it? Like they were the ones for me that were on the forefront of that.
Yeah.
And, you know, and everyone, I think in that era, was trying to download things like Fruity Loops and, you know, Reason. I remember Crowder. Crowder gave a version of Reason. So those guys that I played, a lot of those guys kind of became the Passion Band, people like Paul Whittinghill and Brian Carl. And so I've been Ray Corey, just traveled so many years with them. But in those early days when we're playing at youth groups, we were using Reason. We would use Reason. I didn't have a keyboard player. So I didn't even have that. So Brian, our guitar player, would kind of make the sounds that would help us transition the songs. Yeah. And then Paul would run Reason. Everything would be on Reason. And our loops would literally be loops. Like, it wasn't more tracks. It was more kind of this, like, yeah, exactly. Just something to kind of add some rhythm and maybe some motion or something like that. And he would have different Reason windows open. And after every song, he would hit, like, Apple Q, and then space bar would start the next song. And so, like, it would literally, he would have, if we were playing four songs, he would have four Reason windows open in a set. And so, I mean, pros and cons, I think you always want to be able to be fluid, I think. And I think that's going to be more than this tracks. It's going to be dependent on your team. You know, is your team musically capable? I definitely think the tracks definitely enhance. And so I found I usually do, which is cool, but every now and then you might want to, you know, go a different route. And so I think being able to be flexible, and I think if you've got people to be able to help you do that, you can do that with tracks. But that was probably my biggest pro. Obviously, in the days without tracks, it was just like, hey, we can go here and do whatever we want, and it's great.
Yeah, so. It's funny because I was thinking back to, like, when I first started leading worship without tracks, like no tracks at all. I had never even heard of anybody using tracks. My worship steps probably went from, like, being like 45 minutes down to like 17 minutes, because I feel like it was just so much, like, tighter without tracks. I remember we used to just flow all the time. Like, we would do we had like four songs in the set, but we probably, like, repeated stuff a lot.
Yeah.
We'd maybe jump back to another song, and there was a lot more flowing in it.
Yep.
And you can do that with tracks, but I do feel like we've lost a little bit about, like, just the natural spontaneity in a way.
Yeah.
And by the way, this is coming from a guy who's like, all I do is tracks. Like, I started a company that just sells tracks, and we make software that lets you be spontaneous.
Right.
But I do think that, like, in some ways, worship sets have become a little bit more, like, programmed because of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, for sure. And I lead worship at Passion, and it's a big, you know, obviously the Passion Gathering is a huge gathering. Our church is a large church. And when you're leading in a context that has a large team, you know, it's one thing if you're a band and you guys play together all the time, and it's like, you can kind of read each other's minds. And so you can kind of do stuff and be like, oh, that was cool. But when you're leading with a large team and you're rotating people in and out, that's a little bit tougher to do.
Yeah.
And what I've always found is, like, if you design your system in a way that can be flexible, or you build a culture of that, that helps for sure. But, you know, I also too, I think, just to your point, even just in the culture of our worship leading, I think sometimes if you just play songs, maybe just straight up down, sometimes on a Sunday morning, you blow by a verse. It could be a really great verse. It might be awesome to go and just sing that verse again. Yeah. And I bet if you did that, it would land different in the hearts of people, because sometimes when you just, like, sing through the songs, it just goes over people's heads. But I think if you're able to live in a few things, but not everything, you know, also you could be like, all right, guys, let's land this plane. You know, but I think allowing some of those lyrics and allowing some of this truth to settle in people as you're leading, you see the people's hearts engage just a little bit more, because it didn't just, like, fly by, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a little easier to do that without a click track and a cue in your ear telling you, like, the next song. You know, like, if you already have, like, auto transitions happening where, like, a song ends and it's just automatically transitioning into the next.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to get off that train and be like, actually, we're going to do, like, a down verse again, you know?
Right. Right. Exactly.
Without maybe causing a train wreck.
Exactly. So, it's just like, how do you want to set it up? How do you want your system to be? And so, you know, because obviously the tracks can enhance, especially in songs like, you know, like A Glorious Day or Praise or, you know, something where you're like, hey, we need a little umph behind here. Give a little bit more than the band can give. That's always helpful.
Right. And that's why at Loop, we like to give the worship leader control, like with a foot controller, to be like, hey, like you control the tracks. Don't let the tracks control you. Like you're in charge.
Right.
And if you want to stop the song, like press the button and stop it. And then you can quickly start the next one. But just because a lot of times it takes the time it takes for like the worship leader to communicate that to the band director, for them to then communicate to the band. It just, a lot could get lost in that smoke signals of communication.
It's so true.
So anyways, I was just curious how that kind of worked for you guys. When you're leading, do you ever like pull if you do want to pull something like that, what do you do? Like, how do you communicate it to an MD?
Yeah, we have an MD. It's usually the way it is in kind of our structure or flow. It's the keyboard player is the MD, and they're also running the tracks. And so it definitely, there's a lot going on for them. But yeah, I would kind of look at them. And then especially if it's like a big obvious thing, that I might also give a look to the drummer, just because, you know, the drums keep going, we're all going to keep going. And if the drums stop, we all stop. So, we usually do that. And a lot of times too, in the way I might structure, particularly on like a Sunday morning, a set is I might have a few windows where it's like, hey, here's what we're going to do. Here's where I see the set landing for sure.
Yeah.
But maybe there's one or two windows where it's like, when we get here, band, let's just all be paying attention to each other, to what is going on in the room and in the space. And let's try and get a sense of what God's doing in the hearts of people. And so that helps too, especially if you do have a system of rotating players where it's like, all right, we've got a structure. Back in the day, Nathan Knuckles, he gave me this language. It was like, we have a house, we live in a house, there's a structure here, but right here, we might open up a door and see what's in this room. Maybe there's something cool in here and we might go in there for a little while. Might not be anything there, so we'll just close the door and keep moving through the house. And so that's kind of how I look at it, to where it's not like every time is like, we don't know what's going to happen. That's going to stress everybody out. That's going to stress your team out. That's going to stress you out. But because I kind of hold it that hopefully you're seeking God's direction. The leading of the Holy Spirit is working in the planning and the prep and the conversations that happen prior. But this is where I've learned this a lot from Louie and Shelley. We have lots of planning, lots of prep that go into the gatherings that we hold and that we do. But when we get to the actual moment, there is a lot of open-handedness as well. And in fact, I mean, you definitely hear that on Call on Heaven on our latest record. The last track is from Agnus Dei. That was a moment. If you were there at Passion, you remember it was it was heaven on earth. And this isn't like worship leader hyperbole, but it was something. It was in the last morning of Passion. You know, we'd been there for almost a day and a half, basically. And Christian just felt this sense that God wanted us to stay and to lean into this moment that we were in a little bit. Just, it was beautiful. And, you know, we didn't get to two. The goal was, are we encountering Jesus together? And so all that to say is there was a lot of planning, a lot of, and just to.
Yep. You cut out there just for a second, but I heard a majority of what you're saying.
Nice. Uh-oh. So
I think we got you
basically
now. But yeah, I know. Yeah. Okay, that song was a total spontaneous moment. Yeah. And I think that's really cool. Actually, I appreciate you sharing that story. Cause it's kind of, you wonder like these big conferences that are very planned, like how much spontaneity is there in it? Is there even like, are there moments that are completely unplanned? And that's a great example of one. Yeah. I have a question for you that a lot of worship leaders are facing challenges with getting their congregations to participate and getting them to sing and engage and actually like participate, like not just stand there and watch, but really like, hey, let's worship. And I'm guessing you don't have that issue at a Passion conference because people are like, they're ready to go, ready to dive in. Mm-hmm. Maybe you don't have that issue at Passion Church. I don't know. I'm just curious. No, do you have like any tips on like, what can worship leaders do to help get their people to like really join in?
Yeah, I think if you're a worship leader, particularly kind of like in that worship pastor role, you know, I would say it's more than a worship team's, it's beyond you and your team to be able to do that. So I'd say it's twofold. One, I think if you're just in the creative spaces of your church, it's really going to be hard for you to get a finger on the pulse of what's happening in the whole church. And I've just noticed, especially as churches get a little bit bigger, almost worship teams can become a church within a church. But yet, you kind of lead in a very like, this is really great for creatives and worship leader types, but like for the guy that has the sales job or the teacher or the lawyer, like you're just not connecting into their space as much. And so I just encourage anybody, if you're on the worship team, you've got to fight that and you've got to get in spaces of the people of your church. You'll be a better leader. You'll have a better sense and you'll have more trust from them to do stuff, you know, to participate. The other side of that is trying to get other pastoral figures on board to really create a expressive worship culture. And so if you're the only one that's expressive in the leadership of your church, you know, it's kind of an uphill battle a little bit. But you know, for us, you know, Louie is a worship leader at heart, Pastor Louie. And so and the other pastors of our church help stoke that fire so that when they get up after the music, they're not like, okay, well, that part's done. Now we're just, it's like, no, we worship as a church. Like, and so, and then I also think it's just creating that culture. Maybe you need to show up with some scripture to talk about the lifting of hands and the shouting mm-hmm. of a voice and the, you know, and to just maybe constantly bring people along. But, you know, so call people up to it. And then the other piece of it is if you hear, this is might be a little controversial here in the Loop community, but if your worship team is never in the gathering ever, you're going to have a really crappy worship culture. And so if all your worship team only ever goes to the green room and they're never participating in worship, you're not going to have a very participatory thing. And so I would even just start there to say, guys, ladies, get out and be in the, in, if you're not scheduled, if you're not playing drums that day, be part of the people. And that's how you begin to create a participatory worship culture, is you be among the people, you be a part of the people, even when you're not there, up there leading and playing music. And I think over time, it's not going to be like from, you know, a couple Sundays of doing that. I think you do that. And then a year from now you go, wow, people will seem to really lean in to what's happening here. You know,
those are some great practical tips. I love to, it's funny because when I think about churches that really have strong worship cultures, it's mm-hmm. always like the lead pastor is almost, they're a worship leader almost before they're a preacher. Like they just love worship and they love worshiping and.
Yeah.
It kind of does like start at the top in a way.
Truly. And again, I know that's not the case for everybody, but I think, you know, you can, I think you can help lead up or help cast vision for a leader who that might not be their primary value. But you could say, hey, I think this would be good for our church. Here's why. Are there ways you could help us do this? Are there ways other of the pastoral figures can help as we do that? And then I think that, you know, if they enjoy that environment, then they'll get on board for sure.
Yeah. Right. And it's kind of one of those things that once you get some momentum, I mean, it can catch, it spreads, the fire like spreads to other people.
Yep. Exactly.
So, we have a few minutes left here. Tell us a little bit about how songwriting works at Passion. Do you guys do retreats, co-writes?
Yeah.
How does that work?
Yeah. Yes, to all of that. There are times when we get together and maybe have a specific writing camp, you know, particularly if we're thinking about the conference. For us over the years, you know, we're definitely thinking about all the spaces that we lead in, you know, whether that's a Sunday morning at church or, you know, some young adult space or student spaces. But for us, obviously, the Passion Conference has been the place where we launch songs typically.
Yeah.
And so that usually provides the deadline that we need, the creative spaces that we need to do that. And so a lot of the key writers and artists on our team, we're constantly writing in different ways. And so we've got different, you know, friendships that we've had over the years, and where, you know, I will write here at the house. A lot of times for me, how it works for me is I think for me, pastoring and leading, being a part of like young adults or the five or things like that, it helps inform me of what God is doing in the lives of the people of our church. And then when I do put it on the calendar to go write, I'm kind of drawing from those things, or maybe I come into this space here at my house and I start working out things that God's doing in my life and my heart. And so I always kind of have this like constant. For me, I'd be doing it whether or not they're going to be songs or anything. It's just how I process my relationship with the Lord. And then I kind of have a running thing. And so then when I get into those spaces, or I usually, like I just went to a writing camp this last week. And so all of last week, I just every day, Lord, what would be on your heart for this camp? And so I would just spend time just playing and worshiping. And then little ideas or phrases or concepts would come out and I just write them down. They might not be huge. One thing was just one line of a song, of a verse out in Revelation. And that thing, when I went into a session with some friends, that kind of sparked the song. And so a lot of times for me, that's how it works, is I have a lot of nuggets of ideas of songs, usually titles or concepts, or maybe a section. Maybe it's just a song section. And that song section might spark the rest of the song. But I usually co-write all the time. And then our team will all put the songs into a pot. And then there's a lot of people on our team. And Louie and Shelley are a huge piece of this process of just kind of really getting a sense of what's the song for this moment, for this season. And so, you know, that happened last year. Songs like He Who Is to Come kind of rose to the top. Lord Will Provide, you know. Just these big songs just started to kind of solidify. And then we're like, oh, these are the ones that we need to kind of carry into a space like Passion.
Yeah. So practically, when you say like we put them into the pot, like how do you collect these songs? Like how do you share them? Is it that you throw them into a Dropbox somewhere and send out links? Or if you write a song on your own, how do you actually share that with people? Is it a designated time and place? Or
Well, a lot of times it's so we have a amazing dude named John, and he helps with our label team and with all of us as artists and writers that are part of Six Steps Records. And so he usually is we're sending songs to him, but then there might be a time where he's like, hey, hey guys, all right, for real, we need to get the songs in. And so we'll get them to him. There's usually a conversation between us and him, and just like, hey, this of the ones I'm sending you, we're feeling this, or this feels like the ones that I feel like in this season. And so he'll kind of take all of that. And then there's a greater team that will kind of listen down through the songs as well. And usually it's just a bunch of triangulation, you know, and then a few lists get made or a few songs, and then we'll all kind of maybe. So then that's kind of where I might hear, you know, songs that Christian or Melody or Chittima or whoever have been a part of. And then that's really cool. And so we'll all start to triangulate, and then usually the right thing for the right moment rises to the top. Yeah.
Do you guys already have all the songs ready for Passion
25? Oh, no. I mean, they might be written already. I'm not sure, but we don't know yet.
So tell us about Call in Heaven, and then we'll wrap this up. I want to hear about the last album you guys released, Call in Heaven. Yeah. How have you seen that impact the church?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of our favorite records in a few years. And honestly, you know, these songs just really, you know, represent what God's doing through people. And God's moving so powerfully through young adults right now. And so this gathering of 18 to 25 year olds, I think this music is just really representative of the move of the Spirit of God in young people right now. And so, yeah, I mean, we're leading these songs. They've meant a lot to our church, and really, like, He Who Is to Come, you know, just singing about the second coming of Jesus. That's so important for the church to do, because when you think about Christ coming back, it's what gives us hope. It's what anchors us in a world that seems so unhinged. You know, the Lord will provide is a song of God's provision, even in the midst of, like, I don't know if this is going to work out, but, you know, that Matthew 6, you know, don't worry about your life, you know, but trust that if God's going to take care of the sparrow or the, you know, the flowers of the field, He's going to take care of you. And so I think songs like that have been so important. You know, How Great Is Your Name, Cry Out, these songs of high praise are on there. And we've just really seen that, you know, that I see that with young adults, just that high praise thing is, you know, I think there's so much is like looking at ourselves, a lot of self-help, a lot of this, but when you fixate on Jesus, so much of you gets transformed. And so I think those songs have been really important. Fall Like Rain has been so special and so meaningful. We sang that last night with a bunch of students in the room, and just that desire for the Holy Spirit, the power and the presence of the Lord, and how awesome that gift is to us. Yeah. And so, yeah, just so many great, great songs on the record. I'm basically going to go through the whole track list with you, but it's been awesome. Man. But I really think that's what I think. I think that record just is expressing what God is doing through young people. And you see that through the history of the church. Every great awakening, first great awakening, you have this explosion of hymns and people like Charles Wesley and all of that. And so wherever God is moving, you're going to see music is accompanying that as well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
A second ago, before I let you go, you said a phrase called high praise. Can you expound on that just a minute? Like, what do you mean by high praise and high praise songs?
High praise songs, I guess, for me are those that are like, you know, the How Great Thou Art and How Great Is Our God, or, you know, How Great Is Your Name is a song on Call in Heaven, Cry Out, where these are songs that it's literally like it's so Godward focused in the sense that, you know, I think you can come in and declare what God has done for you. You can come in and worship and declare who you are in Christ. You know, I think a great example of an identity song is like Who You Say I Am, you know, and there's so much that is so great because it's aligning who you are with who God has said you are in His word. Yeah. So those are great songs. We need those songs. You have like war kind of songs where it's like you're declaring, you know, okay, you know, I think of No Longer Slaves, you know, such a great song. But then you got songs like High Praise, when you sing a song like How Great Is Our God. And as you sing of the greatness of God, it's Agnus Dei, I mean, another high praise song. Yeah. As you are, it's like, it's what's being sung in the throne room. When you get a window from the Apostle John in Revelation, you get a window into the throne room of heaven, like in Isaiah. And so as you sing things like holy, the words like holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb who is slain. And as the church sings these songs, we transcend into the throne room of God with Jesus, and we begin to catch a vision of who Jesus is. And those are words that are only reserved for Him. You know, there's other words that we'll sing in songs, but you can sing those in other songs. But when you start singing words like holy, 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 and worthy is the Lamb who is slain, those are words that are only reserved for Jesus. And so that's what I mean by high praise. And again, it's really cool because as you exalt Jesus, we get so much benefit. We get lifted up. We get hope. We get a right view of who God is. And so I love that. And, you know, as the church, we need the full diet of songs. When you sing the gospel story, another song on Call in Heaven is a song called Nobody. When you sing the power of the gospel, the cross and the resurrection, that's going to do something in people's hearts, you know? And so we need all those songs, but high praise. You definitely need that in the mix for sure.
I wanted you to share that because I think that if you're a worship leader and you're taking people somewhere on a journey, like that's the destination. Like that's 100%. The end. You want to get people to the high praise moment. It's kind of like I had a pastor who talked about like the temple courts. Like the first song is like you're on the steps, like saying, "Hey, everybody, come on and let's gather and worship together." Yeah.
Yes.
And then song two or three is like, "Okay, we're in the temple now." It's like, let's talk about what God's done, like testimonial songs.
Yes.
And then you've got like the more like songs that are personal, like you and God. And then in the middle, like at the end, you're in the Holy of Holies, and it's just it's vertical songs. It's songs right to the Lord.
So true. So true. And that's a great way of describing it.
Yeah. It's the destination. Well, Brett, I appreciate you taking the time to have this chat. We covered a lot of different topics. I threw
absolutely
a lot of different angles.
It's great. I love it. I love it all. And so grateful for you, grateful for this community, and you know, just all the men and women out there just trying to lead people's hearts to Jesus. So keep going.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thanks for joining.
You bet. Thank you.
See ya.
See ya.
All right, guys, great conversation with Brett Yonker. Type down in the comments what's one thing you're walking away from this conversation carrying. We talked about a ton of stuff, worship leading without tracks, what that was like, songwriting, worship set building in a way, how to get your congregation to sing. A lot of really good practical tips in there. So anyways, I really appreciate Brett joining us on that interview. Make sure you go check out the latest album from Passion Call on Heaven. We have all the tracks at Loop Community. The songs are up on Song Select at CCLI. So make sure you go check out those resources. Hope you're blessed by this conversation. Click the subscribe button to stay tuned for future conversations, and we'll see you next time.